Hello.
Hello. I was thinking about starting to cut clips of the show and post them to TikTok.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to think that the effectiveness of that strategy might be put in jeopardy by some upcoming legislation.
Yeah, they're targeting us specifically. They were like, BP Bledis will become too powerful. Its swag will be... What does that mean? Your swag too bad? Your
oh,
swag
yeah.
too different? Your smoke, weed too
you
loud?
You smoke yeah. too different. Your bitch too bad.
your swag too loud or something.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying about this podcast, that if we're on TikTok, then... Every youth in America is going to be smoking communist weed, and they couldn't stomach that.
This show has been known for having too tough of smoke, too different of swag, and too bad of a bitch, and getting killed. So, I mean, we're 4 for 4 on that front, honestly.
Yeah.
Fucking
I've definitely
it.
Been on, I feel like in the earlier days of the show, we would like sometimes get high and record at least a bonus, and that was a little much for me sometimes. Like, I wasn't used to trying to like talk for an hour and be high. Being high was usually like, a reason to become more quiet, not more talkative.
No, I mean, I've always become more talkative when I get high. I feel like the stereotype that's commonly associated with cocaine users is what happens to me when I smoke weed, which is that I just start like info dumping and coming up with things and misremembering things and saying incorrect information really fast.
Hell yeah. I mean, you're just describing podcasting. So, I mean, that's why this podcast was born.
That was the idea. Todd saw promise in me, and he said, we got to get a microphone in front of you. Speaking of stuff that's laser targeted at me, my fish dad on YouTube, Matthew Carlson, who I've brought up a few times, kept recommending this salsa espinoler sauce if you eat tinned fish. And so I was like, I'm going to order some. So I got the biggest bottle that they had. It's like a liquor bottle almost of salsa.
I thought that was like hot, like spicy vodka or something when you first showed it.
I mean, the way it tastes, there might actually be some alcohol in here. But what I think is interesting about it, so right now I'm eating it with my lightly smoked mussels.
Nice.
And then I also have like a bowl of olives and seasoned mozzarella balls that I've dumped a bunch of salsa espinola on. And if that sounds odd to you, I got the idea by reading the side of the bottle.
Nice.
Which says, taste it with chips, olives, cockles.
Okay.
White very anchovies.
Cockles, very specifically.
Yeah, and olives. Also, I've never seen anybody ever tell you to put a sauce on an olive. Like, olives are pretty self-sufficient food.
They're already pretty flavorful, yeah.
Yeah. A lot going on in an olive already. And so it says, white anchovies, clams, and salads. So they're like, try it on chips and olives and three different kinds of seafood and also put it on a salad.
Interesting.
And it's pretty good. It's very mild. It's not really super spicy at all, but it has like a Tabasco-y kind of vinegariness to it, but it's a little sweeter and it has maybe like a little bit of a darker flavor. Like, it's way more mellow than Tabasco. Okay. So it's
that kind of makes sense. I guess I see why they wanted you to put it on fish, because it's like something like Tabasco, I feel like, is vinegary, but then also it's not like hot, but there's enough like hot flavor that it would kind of overwhelm. This sounds like it just like brings out the flavor of fish and that kind of thing. I see on Amazon that frequently bought together with like another kind of sauce they make, and then espinola or baby sardines and olive oil. I guess they also make their own fish. So it's like a cross brand synergy kind of thing.
That makes sense if they're also a fish company. I haven't tried their fish. I just saw that he was putting this espinola on everything and talking really, you know, fondly of it. And I'm just like, well, I'm a sauce guy, man. So even more than the tinned fish element of this, if there's a sauce for me to get into, you better believe that I'm on board.
Yeah, especially a food stuff where you can like open a bottle, open a tin, but then be like, this is fancy. Instead of feeling like you're just like squeezing mayonnaise into tuna fish or whatever.
Exactly.
So you're getting low-key fancy with it.
I gotta say, it does taste good on the olives. It's like you've instantly made spicy olives, but it's also like, because it's so mild, you only get a little quick hit of the heat, and then it all is just like olive flavor afterwards, which is kind of nice. So...
Yeah, it looks like basically the same ingredients as Tabasco, like vinegar, red pepper, and then they just also have more spices.
Yeah, it literally just says vinegar, red pepper, and spices, doesn't it? I hadn't looked at the ingredients yet. Contains sulfites, product of Spain. Wow. Living in the United States, you're so used to ingredients being like 6 million ways to die. Choose one. And then you get a product from Europe and it's like 3 ingredients. Go fuck yourself. We made this from shit from the ground.
Yeah, we've banned Red 40. We've banned Red 39, 30. We've banned all the reds. We've banned whatever weird shit you guys are eating in America.
Phosphates, preservatives, blah, blah, blah. So the real moral of the story is that I need to remember to make sure to put this back in the fridge. Because unlike American sauces, if I let this come up to room temperature, it probably will start growing some weird.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe this will be the next thing they ban after they try to ban TikTok, is ban foreign sauces so you're forced to buy American.
They don't want you buying salsa Espanola. They only want you buying Heinz ketchup. Although I have to admit, I went out to buy barbecue sauce recently, and I went to the dollar store because it's way closer to my house than anything else.
Sure.
And the only sauces they had were Sweet Baby Ray's and 2 different Heinz barbecue sauces. And I was like, and it came in the little, you know, the ketchup bottle that Heinz sells now, where it's kind of like flat and wide and it's like a irregular shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that as well. And I was like, come on, man, don't take over every single market. I want there to still be products in the store that I can see and be like, ooh, I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, Lay's makes mayonnaise now. Wonderful, you know.
Speaking of dollar store, did you see that like news article about like a recall or something where there's like dollar store cinnamon is contaminated with lead?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
good,
be careful.
Gracious. I don't really cook with cinnamon, so I'm probably not at high. I've had the same jar of cinnamon in my cupboard for like 6 years, and the only time I ever used it was to make another jar of cinnamon sugar with about half of the cinnamon in it, and that has also been in my cupboard for like 3 years because I don't go through it.
A cinnamon you can keep for forever, but Dollar Tree and Family Dollar products like cinnamons were recalled for having lead. It's like Macrum and Supreme Tradition brand ground cinnamon, so they're basically just for dollar stores. It's like Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, and Save a Lot. I guess there's like some specific like cheap brand of cinnamon, and they forgot to take the lead out, so it has lead in it now.
That's like there was a recall recently for hot dogs. I don't remember what brand, but it was like they may contain metal shavings.
Oh no.
And I was like, that's pretty like one thing to get lead poisoning after the fact and not know where it came from a product, but to bite into a hot dog and have a shaving of metal like slice your mouth open, that's pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's like hard to, it's surprising that doesn't happen more often with hot dogs considering what a like industrial product it is. Like the packaged, you know, multi-meat hot dog is, it's an abomination of like thousands of different animals and organ parts and shit all ground together and then turned into a paste. So like I feel like a human hand hasn't touched them in days by the time it becomes a hot dog.
No, yeah, I mean, a human hand may have guided a hose from one machine to another, but that's probably about all that's happening, because they basically just like, with the exception of the fancy ones that are like natural casing, all beef wieners and whatever.
Yeah.
It's typically like a pink slime situation, right? Where they just generate like a liquid meat and then they shape it into tubes the same way that you would shape like a seasoned butter into a log using like cling wrap.
Yeah. So maybe like a guy pokes them as they roll past a conveyor belt and like rolls some over. Like that's like the quality guy, but I guess he was asleep when they had metal shavings in them.
I mean, my job takes me to a lot of production facilities where it's like just like machines on machines on machines, and there are just like people milling around. Half of them are just repairing the machines. Half of them are just moving things from one line to another like machine line. And it's like, I see shit go wrong in there every fucking day. Like, I see huge problems arise all the time. So it is fascinating to me that like things aren't worse than they are on this front in this country. But I feel like we also like underreport things when there are actual problems. Like to get to a recall, there had to be a lot of metal shavings and hot dogs. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And that is like the kind of thing you would imagine is going to happen more and more, because I feel like you hear about it at Amazon, because that's one of like the most sort of like exploitative and like pushing people to like do all their work as fast as possible, even if they injure themselves, kind of a vibe. Like you hear about that the most from Amazon, but that might just be partially because of volume, because it's like one of the biggest employers and like the biggest like growth industries for those kind of factories.
And Amazon is also super reckless with their automation. This is something we talk about on Work Stoppage pretty often, which is that they'll just throw you with barely any training down on the floor with like robots and people in giant pieces of equipment screaming past you at really high speeds. And like they're carrying loads that are too tall and not properly balanced. And like there was like an elderly woman who lost her foot because something fell off of a assembly line or a conveyor line onto her foot when she was supposed to be packing trays. Yeah, it gets really fucking bad out there. I mean, like every job is getting more intense right now, but what Amazon is doing to the warehouse industry is like really shocking because like there's a lot of industries that have been proletarianized. Like the best example is like pharmacists, right? Pharmacists used to be like small business owners and now they are hourly employees who work for Walgreens. Like that's a pretty big step down. But like, it used to be that warehouse jobs were like some of the best paying manual labor jobs that you could get.
Yeah.
And they were also like they had high safety standards and maybe they were hard. They were very hard. You worked really hard, but you were compensated for it. And like your safety was taken care of. Amazon just like came in and just blew all of that up. The injury rates at Amazon warehouses, depending on which figures you consult, are either two or three times higher than at other non-Amazon facilities.
Yeah, I feel like if you compare it to something like the hot dog factory or like even like a car factory or whatever, like Amazon just like isn't really specializing. It's like the more stuff, the different stuff that they sell on Amazon and the more it all has two or one day prime shipping or whatever. It's just like they need to be able to move like every size of object at the speed of light. At least a hot dog factory is like that's one of the main functions of these kind of factories is specialization, where it's like they have an entire like machine just for like putting the hot dogs in the little plastic packaging, and it's really efficient at doing that, and it's like more predictable. And yeah, like you were saying, I feel like people used to be like trained on more specific like parts of this assembly line, and like not that it was like super high like specialization or like, you know, like you couldn't just find someone else to do it, but it was like some amount of care put into like making sure the person like understood what they were doing. And well, wasn't just like thrown to the wolves.
It used to be that like Taylorism and like the Henry Ford style assembly line where everybody's doing a very specific task over and over and over again all day. Like that was initially developed because one, it's much more cost effective, but also two, like having the same person do the same task over and over and over again means that they're going to do it with a much higher rate of success and a much lower rate of injury because they're specially equipped with this experience of having done it a bazillion times to do it correctly and well and fast and safely. And it's like, we've entered an era now, we've been in an era for quite some time at this point, where it's like all of the effects of specializing labor and, you know, setting up these like special workflow, like management situations and arranging labor in such a way so that it produces the best output. All of that is just like, they're scrapping it for kindling now because they're just like, you know, the real money comes from land, the financial market, weird scams, and like crypto investments. And like, other than that, everything else is just kind of like the front that you're putting up. So it's like every institution is basically just like a drug ring with a fake candy store, except in order to like make sure that the money keeps flowing through the drug ring, they're yanking all the product and all the copper wire and everything out of the candy store and selling it. And it's like, that can only last so fucking long. Like, we're going to reach a critical moment where all of these industries have just gutted themselves for the sake of short-term profits. And a bunch of them are just going to tip over and die, you know?
Yeah. It feels like it's already starting to happen, or at least, like, you're seeing more and more. I think I forget if we talked about this on the last episode, that it's like, in video games, there's been, like, a huge wave of layoffs and, like, contractions at these companies. And it's like, at this point, it feels like even the most successful company, quote unquote, like on paper, you know, like high stock price, making a lot of money, it's just not like a thing that they want to keep a stable workforce. It's like the second that interest rates go up or profits go down, it's just like cut 10,000 people and then see how much money we can still make with like 30% less workforce. And then as soon as more money comes flowing in, you just rehire new people and then try to make more money.
Right. Yeah. It's like the equivalent of if you're ever playing like a strategy game, or like a city builder or something like that, and you make like a few mistakes and they're not that big at first, but you can't like back out of them. Like they're permanent. You're locked into this path now.
Yeah.
And after a while you're like, wow, I really am diverting a lot of funds and, you know, inventory and like items and everything just to make sure that I stay on this path and like don't divert from it. And now we're at the point where like you're like a pro StarCraft player, like clicking 48 times per second just to keep like the system that you've chosen running and like seemingly sustainable. And it's just like, at some point we have to just give up, you know, we have to just like give up and let a bunch of fucking companies fail, especially big ones. Cause that's the crazy thing. I think people are like, companies fail all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but not big ones.
Yeah.
And like, even if I were a capitalist, I think if I were a capitalist, like with enough sense, I would recognize that like once in a while, gigantic behemoths of the economy need to tip over.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just end up with like the Dutch East Indies company running the economy forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or you can get like, I feel like we're trending towards a thing where like failing as a company or like, you know, stumbling kind of means you get absorbed by a bigger player. Mm-hmm. And like generally the amount of like antitrust when the companies aren't allowed to become like too huge or like become monopolies, like that's like not really a consideration, you know. It's like, what was like the most recent one, like AT&T and like Warner or something? I don't even remember like which ones have merged, but huge corporations that own already like many like movie studios and TV studios and like also telecommunications stuff,
yeah,
have started merging. And it's like, we're getting close. Like, I feel like Disney is as close as we've come in a while to like a media monopoly, where it's just like one company can control like many different aspects of like film and TV and streaming media.
Well, it's interesting because like you see this with the social media companies, and it's so funny that we're supposed to be like, the government is supposedly this antitrust, anti-monopolistic institution. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, as we've glossed over a couple of times, they're trying to ban TikTok. But yeah, like, you know, people love to talk about like, okay, so they give us reasons. The actual lawmakers themselves have said that it's like a spy balloon in your phone.
Yeah.
That's a real quote.
Sounds awesome.
Of course, the spy balloons were not real in the first place, but love that they're just tripling down on that. Really wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, that makes it a great metaphor, I think, that it's like, this is like that other thing that we were scaremongering about that you have no reason to worry about. And like, yeah, there's much worse stuff done by American companies on American soil. What if that was in your phone?
Well, and it's also one of the congressmen, I believe, says that, oh, actually, okay, so this is an article by Mike Pence in a Fox News affiliate, and it says, TikTok is digital fentanyl and Congress / Biden must act before it's too late. So this is another thing, fentanyl, where cops are always pretending that they touched it and they're going to fucking die. Yeah. And that's what they want you to think is going to happen if you install TikTok on your phone.
Oh man, that would be great if a cop pulls you over and you're like, yeah, here's my license, and you hand him your paperwork, but like underneath it, you have a phone with TikTok open. And like, as soon as he hears the TikTok voice, he just starts having convulsions and falls over, and you can take your license back and drive away.
But the thing is that I've also heard the idea that like the government is just mad because they don't have a back door into TikTok, mm-hmm, like they have with other social media websites, which I think makes a lot of sense. But I mean, also, I think just from a protectionist standpoint, the United States feels very, very threatened by companies from outside the country, particularly if they are in industries that actually grow, like tech and finance, compared to manufacturing and shipping and stuff, which is like relatively stable, relatively slow moving. So when something like TikTok is explosively popular, they're basically saying like, we must protect Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. The metaverse must be saved.
Like, I didn't even think about that angle, but yeah, I think that's probably also part of it, is just like keeping American companies solvent and profitable.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're like Israeli or something, I deliberately buy all of my products from outside the country.
yeah, I guess TikTok is like, because I feel like there was sort of a trend where it was like more and more like manufacturing, especially like tech, like computer and phone manufacturing, was happening in China. Mm-hmm. And the narrative in the US was like, well, they can like make the stuff, but in terms of like the software, the design, like the ideas, whatever,
right,
like America, you know, we have such a bigger like knowledge economy or whatever.
That was Apple's argument. Big story for like 20 years with their like Foxconn factories and stuff, right?
So I feel like when it's reaching the point where like, because didn't we also have like a similar scaremongering thing about like Huawei phones? It's just like a Chinese phone brand, and people were like, you shouldn't buy them. Like, I don't even know if you can buy them in the US right now. Or
you can.
It's like discouraged. They're like, it's going to be, the CCP is going to hack your shit if you have this phone.
They tell you not to buy it. And like, if you consult with like cybersecurity experts who are American, they'll tell you like a million reasons why you shouldn't buy it. But then like, if you ask them like, okay, what's the difference between the Chinese government knowing what I get up to and the American government knowing what I get up to, which they already do, they'll just be like, well, China's bad and the US is good. So my advice to you is that, you know, they're getting the fundamentals right, which is that there's just a value judgment that you make between two countries. But I would argue that China is good and the US is bad. So you could just do the exact opposite of what they tell you and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like maybe they are banned in... Huawei's 2023 revenue soars despite U.S. sanctions. Once on the brink because of trade restrictions, the Chinese phone maker said its revenue for this year is closing in $100 billion. So wait, can you? This is from like December of last year. Can you still buy these in the U.S.? I guess they're sanctioned in the U.S.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I know they like have crazy tariffs and like trade restrictions on cars. Because I watched a video where they were like, we bought a super, super cheap truck from China that I think in China would have cost you like $2,500. Mm-hmm. But with all of the tariffs and import, export and everything that they had to do just to get it shipped to, I think, California, I don't remember, somewhere in the US, mm-hmm. It ended up costing them like $25,000, like 10 times the price of the fucking truck. And so if they do anything like that with the Huawei phones, it's like, you know, these phones could be great and they could be like $90 in China, but by the time you actually get one in, you know, Cleveland or Santa Fe, you're going to have spent like $2,000 or some shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so I'm skimming this article and it's coming back to me. What kind of happened is that like the Trump administration, they basically like didn't let the like Chinese companies buy like American chips. It was like some kind of like a chip for 5G phones. And it's this article on CNET from last year is saying, last August, I guess, Huawei released its first 5G smartphone, representing a chip-making breakthrough for Beijing, which has previously relied on U.S. components for such devices. So I think the idea was, like, we're too far ahead on technology, so if we just, like, don't let them buy our chips, then they can't make a competitive phone, and then they still have managed to.
Yeah, but that has never worked. Like, some countries where we've, like, extreme blockaded them, that still hasn't fucking worked, because, like, we didn't let Cuba have anything. They totally rebuilt their economy. We didn't let North Korea have anything at all. Like, we went even harder on them than we went on Cuba. And they still totally rebuilt their fucking economy. And they still have, like, modern weapons and modern infrastructure. Not to the degree that a lot of other places do, but, like, considering that we literally let nobody except China trade with them for a long time, like, it was pretty fucking amazing. So if they can do that, then I feel like there's literally zero we can do to slow China down meaningfully. We can maybe make them like stop and look for a second and then realize that we're not worth their time. And that's about all the interruption we can manage.
Yeah.
And the other international big scaremongering thing that we're supposed to be like frightened of right now is, I guess, Marco Rubio had some kind of like Senate hearing. He posted about it on Twitter and he said, today at FBI confirmed that they are very concerned about a migrant smuggling network at our border with ties to ISIS. And I don't understand what he means here. Does he mean a migrant smuggling network in they're smuggling migrants, or these are migrants who are smuggling things? Because those are both scary to the diseased Republican mind. But which one is it, Marco? You know?
Yeah, also why every so often they like try to get this kind of scaremongering going about ISIS. And it's like, I mean, for one thing, there's basically never been like any like ISIS activity in America. Like when it happens, it was because the FBI talked to someone and were like, hey, I'm from ISIS. You should do a terrorist attack. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to arrest you for trying to do a terrorist attack. But also, like, why would they be coming through the, like, Mexican border specifically? Like, is it really easier to fly to Mexico and then illegally cross into America than it is to just fly to America or Canada or wherever? Like,
it's also really funny because it's like, oh, no, we can't track them if they come in illegally through Mexico. But it's like, you couldn't fucking track them anyway. What are they going to do? Show up at the airport and be like, hello, yes, I am Mr. Terrorist, sir. I'm here to do a terrorism. Anyway, let me in. It's okay that you know who I am. It's like, no, it's not how any of this works. So I think mostly what it is just white Americans look at Mexico and they're like, anything could happen down there.
I've seen Breaking Bad. There's probably ISIS guys there too.
Yeah, why would you think there's ISIS guys there? It's just like, it's literally just like any kind of brown person. You're like, they must come from Mexico. It's a very weird like bit of like racism bending, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's whenever there's like anytime the border is becoming like a hot button issue, which is, I think, generally when there's going to be an election. Like, remember, it was when you first started the show, there was like a whole story about like the migrant like caravan. It was like, this time there's not just a few, there's like hundreds of migrants together and they're going to come in across the border. They're just like, they find ways to like raise the fear mongering to a fever pitch, even without actually having like any kind of data or anything. Like, there's probably, it's probably like a very flat line, like the amount of people that enter the US illegally at any given time, and there's not like huge random spikes outside of very specific scenarios. But by just like making a lot of news stories about it, you can make everyone feel like there's just an invasion happening tomorrow.
You just keep publishing, and then you have to keep ramping it up, right? So like, first it's like there's a crisis at the border, and then there's like, there's a crisis at the border, and also there are terrorists in the crisis. And then it's like, okay, also there are North Korean agents, and Iran is at the border, and also the Houthis are in Mexico.
Are they really?
And also,
oh my God.
And the Unabomber came back to life, and he's down there. And it's know, where do we draw the line? When do we just stop thinking like any? Because it's like that comic where it's like, you know what's really scary? It's not the dark, because the dark only has a 50% chance of there being a scary guy in it. Whereas if there's a scary guy, there's a 100% chance of there being a scary guy.
I haven't seen that.
Like, you know what's scarier than thinking there might be terrorists in Mexico? Recognizing that the United States government is basically just a terrorist state. That's all we do is terrorism.
Yeah.
Like, who's a bigger terrorist than fucking Marco Rubio? Like,
yeah. The Houthis could never.
The Houthis could never. I love the fucking Houthis, honestly. They're fucking badass. What are they up to? I didn't put anything about them in our notes, but there's always something worth Googling about them.
So AP 6 hours ago says, reports claim Yemen's Houthis have a hypersonic missile. Possible raising stakes. Got to read more about this.
Got to go fast.
Possibly raising stakes in Red Sea crisis. I don't know where. There's also an opinion article that's like, UN must block Iranian missile supply to Houthis in Yemen, UK, and USA. So apparently they're going from like unbeatable to unbeatable, and they have missiles, which is like, that just sounds like they're going to win whatever war they're starting.
Yeah, okay. So it says, until now, rebels have largely struck ships heading into the Red Sea towards the Suez Canal, and such an escalation would target the longer alternative route used by some vessels. So I guess what this means is that it's not unrealistic that there could be an entire Red Sea blockade happening pretty soon. Because, of course, the Houthis don't control the Suez. I think that's still under Egyptian control right now, right?
But couldn't tell you.
They still control the entire waterway that leads up to it, unless ships are willing to go close enough to Africa, which I think they hadn't previously been doing because there's Somali pirates over there, right? So it's like, they would previously go closer to Yemen, but now the Houthis are like, well, if you're trying to get shit to Israel, fuck you.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we'll take our chances with the Somalis. And now the Houthis are just like, well, actually, we have a supersonic or a hypersonic.
Whatever that means, yeah.
Even better, yeah. So, yeah,
I didn't realize Houthi was a guy's name. I don't know if this is true. It's what the
atheists
they're
family.
Saying, but Abdul Malik al Houthi, the Houthi's secretive supreme leader. That's interesting. I feel like usually these groups don't have like, they're not like named after a guy.
Well, they call themselves Ansar Allah. That's their real name.
Oh, okay. Houthi, but, just what we call them.
Yeah, we call them the Houthis because calling them by the. Because the whole family is pretty important in the movement. So by identifying that family, it's very easy for Western journalists to kind of imply that they're just some tribalistic, kind of like nobodies from the Middle East who are just this upstart ragtag band of blah, blah, blah. None of that is true. They are a well-organized military force that controls a very significant chunk of a sovereign nation. That is nothing to be fucked with.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, they have a lot of... they have a lot of prowess out on the water as well. Even though the civil war in Yemen has largely taken place on the land, it's like they're pretty fucking capable when they go out into the Red Sea. So, yeah, it's been interesting. I try to call them Ansar Allah as often as I can, but like it's tough because in the English language media, it's just Houthi, Houthi, Houthi. That's all you ever hear. So
yeah.
Anyway, as long as we're doing international news, let's go back to China, where something that we've been waiting for. I kind of wish we had Todd for this story because he's been talking about the housing crisis that's been bubbling up in China for a little while now. And his question, if I'm remembering correctly from several episodes ago, was, is China going to bail out their housing sector if it crashes? And we've gotten our answer today from a CNBC article that says, China's housing minister says real estate developers must go bankrupt if necessary, which I got to say, you know, I don't understand a lot about economics in general, particularly within the kind of system that China has. I don't know about all the ramifications of everything, but I know that in the US, we would bail them out. So that must be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, this is like kind of, you were saying this earlier, you were like, even if you're a capitalist, shouldn't you assume that like sometimes big corporations like have to go belly up to like keep everything flowing correctly, like keep the system moving? Yeah, because that is like one of the big things that like doesn't really like anyone who is actually like rabidly pro-capitalist or is, you know, like trying to create some kind of like pro-capitalist like economic ideology where they're like, here's why it's just like the natural flow of the market. I feel like that's one of the things they'll talk about, is that it's like capitalism is flexible because it will like fill the needs of consumer demand better than like a state-run, like, you know, government organization could. It's like whatever people want will like, they'll support the best company that makes the best products, and then the other ones will go bankrupt. But if no one's allowed to go bankrupt, then that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, it cuts off the whole like internal logic of the market, which is interesting because like China keeps capitalism in like a little box, and it like lets it do its thing, and it tries to extract valuable bits from it without being too affected by it, which is an interesting game. They seem pretty successful at it. But in the United States, the whole idea is that market forces should just run free. But then as soon as something is worth more than like $100 billion, we just like decide, oh no, you know, we're just going to let it fail now. Or rather, we decide we can't let it fail. It's too big to fail. My brain keeps defaulting to the sensible thing to do. But so this minister, Ni Hong, Minister of Housing and Urban Rural Development, said at a press conference on Saturday, and I think this is really interesting, for real estate companies that are seriously insolvent and have lost the ability to operate, those that must go bankrupt should go bankrupt or be restructured in accordance with the law and market principles. Continuing to say, those who commit acts that harm the interests of the masses will be resolutely investigated and punished in accordance with the law. They will be made to pay the due price.
Damn.
We never in this country, in the United States, hear anybody in government saying, look, if they have harmed people, they will pay the price. They will go to jail. They will face criminal penalties and fines and jail time and all this stuff. You never, ever, ever hear, like, children die cleaning meatpacking facilities who are illegally employed, and the owners of these companies get slapped with OSHA fines, and often that's it.
Yeah, I feel like even just like using the phrase like the interests of the masses, or like calling, like talking about the masses, even that you never hear in America. Like if you try to think of like a similar kind of comment that Joe Biden might make, he's always like at least on Twitter, he's like, my new thing makes it easier for working families to buy insulin or whatever. Like the price of insulin's capped. It's always families for some reason in America.
Or like a obsessed, very specific branch of students. He's like, students who graduated between 2019 and 2024 will be eligible for a 2% reduction in the interest on their student loans. You know,
yeah, like it's something like that. Or it's like, it always has to be like, well, you know, if somebody has a kid and they're poor, we should help them. But if it's just like a random, like single poor person, it's just like, well, fuck you.
You get help if you're on food stamps, but you're not on drugs, but you do have a job, but you don't have a steady place to live. But you know, it's like means test, means test, means test, means test. Even in situations where it's like kind of reasonable, once you start tacking on three or four things, it gets out of hand. It's like, who are we servicing? 1.1% of the population compared to China, where they're just like, if you mess things up for people broadly, you're going to jail.
Incredible.
Sicko energy. Wish we fucking had it.
Yeah. Have we talked about it before when we talk about like Evergrande and stuff, like why the like people are buying less houses in China? Is there just like a, like, are people less able to afford them, or is there like a population dip or something?
I mean, they are experiencing a bit of a population slowdown, which is like pretty much what everybody expected would happen. Like once you get to a certain level of industrial development and a certain standard of living becomes like fairly commonplace. And they didn't just get to that point in their economic development. They also got to that point in their economic development while eliminating extreme poverty. So like at that point, you're going to experience a lot of people who are like, hey, I'm comfortable. I should prioritize myself. I should try to live as much of my life as I can before I have a kid. Maybe I won't have one. Maybe I'll only have one, you know, whatever. But then also the market in China was just like exploding. Like the level of GDP growth and the level of international market share growth that was coming out of China for the last 40 years is just like unprecedented. No country in the history of the world has ever advanced to the front of the pack that fast, that, you know, over that expansive development. And as a result of that, like, yeah, overzealous developers in the private market in China and some public market too have built too many houses and have built too many developments, and there's just not enough people to fill them up. And so what's going to happen? The state is probably going to be like, okay, unless you have a special permit, you can't keep building stuff until we fill this stuff up. The state will requisition the housing that it needs and give it away. And like, shit, that's what I would have told them to do. So like, I couldn't be more pleased. My only complaint is that I don't live in China.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that one's, someone fucked up on that one. Why aren't we Chinese? That would have been a lot better.
Thanks, mom and dad, for staying in the United States and not moving to Shenzhen like you have a fucking brain cell or two.
Yeah, it does seem like just that CNBC article we were reading like has a link to like an article about the like why the housing market is slumping. And it kind of seems like it was just this was a thing that they were already concerned about and were trying to like take steps to alleviate, is that like the property market was booming. And they were sort of warning, like, this shouldn't be used as, like, investment speculation or as a way to try to, like, ride a wave up. So it's, like, I think in America, something similar would have led to, like, another kind of, like, housing financial crisis or bubble where it was, like, this development and selling would have continued. They probably would have, like, in America, probably the solution to this would be, like, make cheaper mortgages and then also turn them into financial instruments. And then when they ran into this problem, inevitably, it would just mean that like tons of people lost their money. And in China, it's more like these real estate development companies that were speculating using debt are going to lose their money. And China is going to like cut down on how many places can like use debt to even develop houses, and instead should just be like investing money they already have. So it's like they're cutting it off way further up the chain than we would.
Right. It's almost like in China, the argument that we hear in the United States, which is that like the business owner is the one assuming the risk, and that's why they should be like given X amount of like the profits or whatever. They're actually like putting that into practice in a way we never do, which is like, oh, if your business fails, you took that risk and you are now on the hook for that, which is like, you know, as you say, like here, we would have just like completely let that just utterly go. Like we would have we would have just let it become a problem forever. Whereas in China, they're just like, you know, we can fix this rather quickly because we have the state institutions to do so. It's kind of weird because it's like ever since they're, I don't know if this predates that, but I've noticed them being a lot more firm with it since their supposed pivot back to Marxism, which I think was like 4 or 5 years ago that Xi announced that.
That's like a big thing with Xi in general, is it's like he's a pretty devoted Marxist from what I understand. Yes. That was like part of his like field of study in like school before entering governance. So yeah, it's interesting because it's like there's still a lot of elements of their economy that are like pretty clearly like feel capitalist in how they function, but it's like it's interesting how many different like ways of capitalism functioning there can be, where it's like in the US we have like an ideological devotion to like only maintaining capitalism and like the you know totality of economic power being in like corporations and boards of directors and, like, and stuff.
It's finance capital and the imaginary economy. Like that's something you hear about from China, is that like they are relentlessly focused on I don't remember their exact terms, but basically the real economy.
Like yeah.
Actual production, land, resources, work, labor hours, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Compared to the imaginary economy, which they are trying to de-emphasize and in some cases just not interact with at all. Like they banned cryptocurrency.
Oh yeah, I kind of forgot that happened. That was a sweet move.
That was a sick move. And also, they're like, as you say, they're not just trying to crack down on the housing market as like something where they're overproducing. They don't want people using it as a speculative investment bubble. They don't want people just making money out of money for the sake of doing it. They want any growth in the economy to be a real growth in the real economy that can be built on in the future. Mm-hmm. Compared to the United States, where it's just like, we saw the Dutch do the tulip boom, and we were like, that's it. You just do that over and over again with every industry until you run out of industries.
Yeah.
And then you make up new ones like Neuralink. You just make up an industry and do a bubble in it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I feel like the tulip bubble feels quaint because it's like, at least there were actual flowers. Like they were real things with like scarcity and like tangibility.
Yeah. Not like they had live any and function. Grow and then eventually die. And like,
yeah. Yeah. There was some predictability of like the life cycle of a tulip and like people's interest in tulips. Like obviously the whole like, you know, craze around them is like that's like not that different from like cryptocurrency or whatever, but we're moving into stuff that's just like digital fictions. Like when yeah. when a coin is like there's only going to be x many copies of this coin, it's like you don't know if that's true or not. Like you have no way of verifying how many of them exist or whatever. It's like they can just make like, more.
It's like when Elton John does a farewell tour and he's like, this is the last one, and you're like, yeah, right, we don't believe you.
Yeah, everyone who went to see LCD Sound System's last show, quote unquote, at Madison Square Garden, and then they're like, we're actually playing a bunch more shows. Fuck you guys if you were like, I'm gonna pay $500. I don't know how much it was, but like I was imagining someone being like, I'm the biggest fan, I have to see the last show at MSG, and they play a bunch more shows.
Hell yeah. Well, speaking of just fucking lying about things, I want to talk a little bit about the New Orleans police, because I came across a really funny story, and I really can't. Normally when police tell you something is happening, like my instinct is just immediately not believe them. And
yeah,
with this story in particular, though, like I feel like believing them is almost as funny as not believing them.
Okay.
I just don't want to believe them because they're leveraging this as an excuse to ask for more resources. So this story is, quote unquote, they're all high. Okay. New Orleans police say that rats can't stop eating marijuana in evidence room.
So they're keeping the weed just like sits out loose in the evidence room, and there's mm-hmm. rats in the evidence room, and the rats are so hungry they're eating weed. Like, is
they're
that,
eating weed.
Does it taste well, good to eat on its own? Do they just want to get high?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard that like cats will eat your weed.
Okay.
But like, I've owned cats for many years now, and none of them have ever tried to eat my weed. Tilly will hop up next to me if I smoke a joint and try to like get in the smoke, but she doesn't try to like eat any of the weed or anything. And you know, I'm a good cat owner. I don't let her do it.
Sure.
It's not cool to let your cats get high. It's not good for them.
Probably not good for them.
Those drugs are for people, much like chocolate. But what's interesting is that the New Orleans Police Department is saying that it's not just that there are rats and cockroaches in the evidence room eating the weed and like infesting all the stuff, but they're also saying that their headquarters have faulty elevators and widespread mold, and that these drugged up rats are becoming extremely high and then they're causing problems. And it also, I love this quote from Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick, who says, quote, the rats are eating our marijuana. They're all high. Which is like,
how do you, I mean, what does a high rat act like that's different than a rat? Like a regular rat is already pretty annoying because he's going to like chew your stuff. He might chew the walls or like wiring. He's going to eat your food. He's going to leave rat shit everywhere. Like,
right.
What is a high rat doing that's worse than that?
He's doing all the same things, except he like forgets to shower.
Yeah.
And he's got like pizza grease in his fur, and he smells like Totino's pizza rolls.
Yeah.
And,
Is it just a cop thing where it's like the idea that these rats are doing an illegal drug is making them mad? And they're like, I can't believe that this rat is also like, it's like they want to arrest the rats like deep down. Yeah.
It offends their moral sensibility, but it's also like they ate the weed that you left in the evidence. It's also, here's my other thing, is like the cops seem like really protective of this weed.
Yeah.
And also claiming that rats ate the weed in the evidence room is a really convenient cover if you've been taking weed from the evidence room, which yeah. knowing cops, I'm going to go ahead and say they have been. If I were a cop, for instance, and I would never be a cop, but let's say weird twist of fate, I ended up as a cop. Sure. My ass would constantly be in the evidence locker, and I would take a lot more than weed.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that'd be like the coolest thing about being a cop would be like the opportunity to like hamstring actual police investigations and work and like not arrest innocent people and then steal all of the stuff that they have around, like commit crimes that you can get away with because you're a cop.
Yeah, just do drugs with impunity. Because like that's my, I'm not like, I don't want to kill people. I don't want to like be involved in like police style gang violence or any of the other stuff that like I'm sure a lot of sicko freaks who join the police look forward to.
Yeah.
But the idea that like I could go into an evidence locker where like every kind of drug is just labeled on a shelf and I could pretty much do them with impunity. I mean, that sounds pretty fucking amazing. Like I would almost, if I didn't have a principled ideological position against it, I would almost consider becoming like a meter maid. Just to like steal some primo coke from the evidence locker.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they probably have a pretty like robust screening process for people, especially like you or me. But yeah. Like, I mean, you got the long hair, so they'd be like, all right, first you got to cut the hair, then we got to do a background check. We got to find out if you're likely to like sow dissent or like, you know, steal drugs or whatever.
They're like, we could tell you're a drug user, but you're not a roided up racist freak. So you're not the type of drug user that we would normally hire. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Sonny?
You're using like, the wrong, it should be illegal steroids and like, you know, prescription meth or cocaine or something. It should, and energy drinks. It should not be weed.
If I was bald and jacked and racist, they would hire me right away. But
absolutely.
The problem is I'm none of those things.
That's a strange kind of John to imagine. You just like slowly try to like become like just have cop face somehow, like shaving your head and like getting roided out and then getting weird like fake tattoos.
The
I feel
long
like they'd still just smell the hippie on you somehow.
Yeah. I mean, they would be able to figure it out. Somebody would, I would correct somebody's like, you know, history or something. I would be like, that's not actually how that happened. And they would be like, that's not actually how that happened. You're fired.
Yeah. Fuck out of here. Yeah. There is like, I mean, it's like a reason. It's like a thing that cops do where they like give you an IQ test. And if you score too highly, they like recommend you do something else. Yeah. Right. Like they really want you to be kind of dumb.
No. Yeah. They want midwits at best. Right. Because they want you to be pretty malleable. And they also want you to be like very receptive to the idea that like if you speak up and you're like, hey, should we really be doing this? That a quick shut the fuck up. Fuck you will actually like put you in your place. And it's like, you know, it doesn't take necessarily intelligence to stand up for yourself, but it helps, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. That is like, there's a reason that police operate like a military so often, and it's not just because they want to be able to like function as like a military occupying force in the cities they police. It's like to make sure that people treat like, you know, commands from a superior officer the same as they would in a military. It's like,
right. You
can't question it. You can't disobey it. That's like the one thing that will get you in trouble is if you don't do what someone tells you to do.
Yeah, it's basically the word of God. Well, and I mean, like they do recruit pretty heavily from the military as well. Like that's one of the big things is like, if you come back from, let's say you just did like one tour somewhere and you're like, I'm back, I'm looking for a job. Like the police will snap you up in a fucking second
if
you're a veteran. So. Well, speaking of people who live out their fantasies, like the police get to live out their racist power trip fantasies, I want to talk about a young boy in Ohio who lived out my fantasy, which is that he was left alone overnight in a Target. And I got to tell you, like, I don't know what's so special about this to me, but the idea of being, and even if it was me now, like you don't have to take me back to being 12. I can be 32. Yeah. That's fine. But just to be like unaccompanied in a store and like locked in as well. So it's not like you could just leave and like not touch anything and like that would be the best move. No, I want to be forced to stay in the store overnight so that I have an excuse to be like, well, I got bored and move the mannequins around and I ate stuff out of the deli, but I'll pay for it. And like, you know.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that like a lot of kids, like, I definitely have vague memories of kind of daydreaming about that as a kid, where you're just like, what if I was stuck in here? Because, like, when you're a kid and your, like, interests are easily satisfied, like, you don't really have any money, or, like, you know, if you're going to get a piece of candy, it's like, you can pick one thing when you're checking out, like, mm-hmm. getting a new video game or a toy or whatever is, like, a special occasion. You can't just, like, they're more expensive, too. You can't be like, I'll buy a $5 indie game. It all had to be, like, $30. So the idea of being, like, trapped in the grocery store and you're like, man, I have to eat because I'm hungry and I'm trapped here, so I have to, like, open this stuff up. Just, like, opening all the snacks and then going to the video game aisle and having, like, the kiosk all to yourself to play GameCube or something. Pretty fun.
Playing all the way through, like, every demo version of every game as far as it will let you, but they all take about 6 minutes, so you're basically, like, hopping between consoles for, like, six straight hours.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes wondered about that, like, because when I was a kid, I feel like it would just be, like, the actual... Like, when there was Game Boy Advance, I kind of remember, like, there being the new Pokemon game in a Game Boy Advance. And I think it was, like, the full game. It was just that the, you know, Game Boy was locked in, so you couldn't take it with you, obviously. Right. You couldn't steal it. And there was usually, you know, I assume if you stood there for too long, someone would tell you to, like, let someone else have a turn or whatever. So they were never very far in the game. But in theory, you could just, like, play all the way through and get to the Elite Four if you were there all night.
There's some games where, like, the demo version is just the full game, but they put, like, a timer on it for how long you're allowed to play before it'll reset your save. And with the advent of speedrunning, like, a lot of these big speedrunners have actually figured out how to beat the demo versions of games.
That's awesome.
Where you were, like, never even supposed to get to, like, the second dungeon or whatever. But they're like, oh, with this skip and that skip and this glitch and this special workaround, and we, you know, bug ourselves to the end credits and boom! Boom, with 6 seconds to spare.
That's
kind
awesome.
Of amazing.
Like, for older games where they just, like, gain access to the demo version from an old kiosk or something?
Yeah, I think one of the ones is, like, an old N64 Zelda, Majora's Mask or something, where, like, the demo version on the demo CD is actually the whole game, but it's, like, they give you, like, an 8-minute timer or, like, a 15-minute, I don't remember how long it is, but, like, eventually people figured out, they're like, well, the any percent world record is shorter than the timer on this, so can you beat the demo? And then it turned out that, like, I think some of the glitches work differently on the demo, so they opened a separate category for it, and then eventually it got beaten. And I think a few other games were discovered that were like that as well.
That's awesome. There's just from, like, Googling it, the top thing that came up is Minecraft. I was just Googling, like, demo version speedrun. And there's a Minecraft any percent demo speedrun. It's like 14 minutes. So I guess it's just like, maybe that, I think it actually is similar. The Minecraft demo is basically like you can play for half an hour before it, like, asks you to buy it. So they're just like, play the demo and then speedrun and beat the game in before the timer goes off.
That's funny. It's also like with the target thing, like you're basically doing an any percent speedrun, like lose your mind in a target. But there's like a timer on it, so it's like you better go fucking nuts by the time the sun comes up, right? So it's like you start off and you're like, well, I gotta just sit around and like eat my snacks and play my video games, and then later, you know, an hour goes by and you're like, well, I don't think anybody would notice if I rode this skateboard down the hall. And then pretty soon you're like trying out all the different bikes from the bike rack, and like by the time the employee comes in the morning, like, you've trashed the place. But it doesn't seem like that's even what happened to this kid. Because there's two things about this. So they found him at 6:15 a.m. in the store, and he's currently in police custody. It's unclear whether or not he's going to be returned to his family. That sucks, number one. Just give him back to his family.
Yeah.
Two, it says that they initially reported that the boy was 7 years old, but then they updated his age to 12. Which makes me wonder, like, so weird. Which is it? Like, did you mistake a 12-year-old for being younger than he is?
Was he lying and saying he was seven?
Like, yeah.
Why? What happened?
Or is he... Yeah, like, did he try to run away from home? Was this kid's, like, brilliant idea to, like, just stay in the Target? Because, like, I've seen people do that in movies and stuff, but, like, usually what you do is you go into an office building and you get in one of the elevators and you put it between two floors and then you turn the fire key so that it just stays there, and then everybody leaves, security guards set the alarm, blah, 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 and then at, like, 1 a.m, you just set an alarm, you wake up and you set the elevator back to the lobby, and then you rob the place or whatever, you know, in Minecraft.
Sure. That sounds like a cool move.
I don't think that's what this kid did. I think he just hid in, like, a clothing rack or a fitting room or something.
Yeah, one of the things I was reading about it was saying that he was, like, trying to run away from home, but it didn't seem to give details about, like, how he stayed inside the Target when they were closing. I mean, I guess it's not hard to imagine, because it's like, how much is somebody being paid to close a target, and like how much do they actually care about how much do they actually care about like making sure there's no one in the target before they close it? Like, I'm sure they like there's like a PA announcement or whatever where they're like, all right, it's closing in 10 minutes. Please go to the register, make your final purchase and leave. And then after that, they're just like, whatever.
Well, and like, have you been in a Target in the last like 10 years? Like, it's staffed entirely by high schoolers and people who should be retired. Like,
yeah,
none of those people are going to like check every little last corner of the store. Like, I don't know. Maybe I should try staying in a Target. Cause here's the thing. If I stayed in a Target overnight, I would be way slicker about it. And I would not get caught by the employee who came to open the store. I would go back to my hiding place and wait till like 8 a.m. and then just reemerge into the general public.
Yeah, I guess that's a question. Are the cameras still going overnight at like Target? Probably, right? Like the security cameras. So it's like your escapades are going to be on camera.
But
that'd be interesting. What if you're like, you're hiding away and then you emerge with like whatever you can do to like not be recognized on a security camera, like ski mask, like something that blurs your face.
Yeah, t-shirt, ninja mask thing, and like gloves or whatever. Yeah.
You do your activity, and then you go back in to your hiding place until enough people have shown up, and then you can just like leave, and then they're just like, well, all we can do is look for someone who was like there both days, but even that is like lots of people probably like show up at Target in multiple days in a row.
Yeah, it's what you need is a wig that you can fit in your pocket and clothes that look very different if you turn them inside out. Because you don't want to be like carrying your backup outfit around.
Yeah,
you want to be able to just like hop in the thing, flip your pants inside out, turn a jacket inside out, and put on a wig so you have a different hair color, and boom, you're a different person.
That's true.
Yeah,
because like, I mean, like they have these security cameras, but it's like, how high res is it actually going to be of like your face specifically if you're like in a crowd of people or whatever? Yeah, so if you're like dressed differently, look different, it might just not register as you.
Interesting. I'm going to look up some Target surveillance footage. Oh, it looks like it's actually pretty high quality.
It's getting better.
I have known for a while now that like Target is one of the places you never shoplift from.
Really? Okay.
Their loss prevention is like psycho in a way that other chain, like loss prevention is always like a weird industry to be in, but Target in particular is like super deranged. Like they will open a file on you and they won't bust you right away, and they'll wait until you've stolen over $100 of stuff so that they can specifically hit you with a felony instead of a misdemeanor, which is like, that's a level of like be going out of your way to be punitive that scares me. And obviously that's the point. Like they want that reputation so you don't steal from Target. But like genuinely don't steal from Target unless you have a very, very good plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Just Googling it. Did you find the one that's like the kids fighting or whatever when you looked up Target surveillance video, or like which video did you watch?
Yeah. It's kids fighting in like a toilet paper aisle or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is pretty high quality. It's like, depending on which direction your face, like at some point your face will probably be like facing towards a camera and be visible. Yeah, I hope this guy's okay and they knocked him out, it looks like.
Yeah, the real question is, how do you get it so that like, okay, they see that a guy in a brown jacket and green pants walked in the door, and then he didn't walk back out the door that night, and then he did walk back out the door again that morning. And it's like, is he the same guy as this masked figure who ran around the store wearing a totally different outfit? It's like, I think they're still going to be able to figure out who it is. So I guess the real best thing to do is to make sure that you always enter and exit inside of a gigantic crowd of people.
Yeah.
And it would help if you're like really short, you know?
Yeah. Just got to blend right in.
Yeah. All right, well, now that we've come up with a foolproof plan for getting away with going goblin mode in a Target, this has been your for the week. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you all for having faith in the glorious international leading nation, our bright shining star of China. Thank you all for making sure that your police station rats don't eat your weed. And you can check out my other show, Work Stoppage. You can check out Bryn's other show, Generation Loss. You can check out Todd's shop, Doomer.shop. And as always, we love you. Stay high. Goodbye.
Keep smoking.
Keep smoking.
The smell of piss is so strong, it smells like decent bacon. Kevin's getting footloose on the overspill under the piss station. station. 2 pints, destroyer on the cobbled floors. No amount of whatever is gonna chirp the chip off. It's the final countdown by fucking journey. I woke up with shit in my sock. Outside the Polish off license. They don't mind, said the arsehole to the legs. You gotta be cruel to be kind. Shit bank, save it up like Norbit Colon. Release the stench of shit grub like a giant toilet kraken. The lonely life that is touring. I got an armful of decent tunes, mate, but it's all so fucking boring. Tied up in knots with a Z, you cunt. Black t-shirts and state toss. Knob is nuts, the rule of rough cuts. A to Z of nothing gets all the shiz. We are real, we are looking 20p and the 10p mix. Crab eyes, another lonely